The manager tapped the keyboard and scrolled through more angles of the parking lot and hotel. He asked, "How much longer?"
"As long as it takes."
"I guess you paid me enough," the man said, a vast understatement, considering the $5,000 Angie had put in his pocket. He probably would have done it for $1,000, but Angie had been in a hurry and she didn't have time to negotiate. There were two adjoining rooms at the back of the motel, separated by a locking privacy door. Everything Angie needed was in her go-bag. The directional mic was slim enough to fit under the door. The transceiver plugged into the wall. The headphones plugged into the jack. Since Angie had gotten to the motel so quickly, she'd had plenty of time to plant the cameras. But she hadn't done this kind of work in months. There was no charge left in the batteries. The desk phone rang. The manager picked up. Angie gathered a guest was having problems with the television. She started pacing. She didn't want to think about how this could go wrong. Meeting at a motel didn't mean meeting in a motel room. Marcus drove a Cadillac Escalade. The back was more than adequate to accommodate two people. The manager hung up the phone. He asked Angie,
"This who you're waiting for?"
She looked at the monitor. Marcus Rippey's black Escalade had pulled into the space beside Joe. Angie held her breath, waiting for her entire plan to go sideways. Joe stayed in her car. Marcus got out of his. Angie followed his progress across the parking lot. His gait was slow, casual, but he scanned left and right, as if he was making sure no one was watching him. He did another scan before he opened the door to the lobby. A bell rang.
"Showtime."
The manager stood up and left the room. Angie toggled through the security cameras to find the one that covered the front desk. The manager was there, tucking his polo shirt into his shorts. Marcus wore a baseball cap low on his head. Sunglasses covered his eyes. His clothes were nondescript. The chunky $300,000 watch missing from his wrist. He seemed to know where the cameras were. He kept his head down. He didn't look up. He passed the manager a wad of cash because LaDonna monitored every penny that went in and out of their accounts. Angie heard the manager talking, but she couldn't hear Marcus. A key was passed across the counter. Maps of the city and the Wi-Fi password were offered. Marcus shook his head to both. The camera lost him as he headed toward the door. The bell rang again. Angie toggled the switch to get back to the parking lot. Marcus was standing outside the front doors. He waved for Joe to come in. Initially, Joe didn't move. She seemed to be deciding something. Was she really going to do this? Should she go into that room with Rippey? Should she drive away? Finally, Joe decided. Her door opened. She got out of the car. She tucked her hands into the pockets of her jeans as she jogged across the parking lot. The manager knocked on the door. Angie opened it. He said,
"Is that who I think it is?"
"Not for $5,000, it's not." Angie started randomly pulling plugs from the back of machines. She had already taken the CDR out of the video recorder.
"Hey,"
he held up his hands,
"I know how to take a payoff. I work at a motel by the interstate."
Angie thought about the gun in her purse. Unloaded. Probably a good thing. She cracked open the office door. Joe and Marcus were getting into the elevator. She ducked down behind the counter as the doors closed. Angie waited until she heard the motor sending the elevator up. She took the back stairs slowly because she couldn't beat them up to the second floor. She heard them talking as she got to the top landing. A key was put into a lock. A door opened. A door closed. Angie went into the hall. She walked briskly toward the adjacent room. She'd oiled the lock with a can of WD-40 from her go-bag. The key silently slipped in. The tumblers engaged. She pushed open the door on oiled hinges and held onto the knob so that the automatic arm would not slam it shut. The door between the two rooms was thin. Marcus and Joe were already talking in the other room. His deep baritone vibrated the air. Joe's voice was softer, more like a hum.
Angie sat on the floor by the transceiver. She held one of the headphones to her ear.
"Any more?" Joe said. "I mean it."
Marcus said nothing, but Angie could hear his breath, a steady in and out. Angie adjusted the sound. She cursed herself for not keeping the batteries charged in all the cameras. Marcus said,
"What do you want me to do, Joe?"
"I want you to look at this."
There was a rustling sound, then a tinny whine that Angie thought was feedback. She adjusted the knobs on the transceiver. It wasn't feedback. It was a woman's voice, chanting the same word over and over again.
"No, no, 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 no."
Angie turned up the volume. The chant was faint, distant, as if it was being filtered through a cheap speaker. Had Joe turned on the television? Marcus said,
"Jesus, Joe, where did you get this?"
"Just watch."
"Watch?"
"Not the TV. Maybe a video." Angie closed her eyes, focusing on the ambient sounds. A wind noise, someone breathing, a rhythmic tapping. The woman's voice again.
"No, no, 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 no."
"Fuck."
A man's voice, out of breath.
"No, no, no."
"Fuck."
The same man again, excited. The second man, even deeper voice.
"Shut her up."
The first man.
"I'm trying."
Angie sat back on her heels as it dawned on her what she was listening to. Joe had a video of two men fucking a woman who kept saying no. Marcus said,
"Turn it off."
The first man. Marcus Rippey was the first man.
"Please,"
Marcus said.
"Turn it off."
Angie listened to the silence, her stomach clenched like a fist. What the fuck was Joe doing? She was all alone. Nobody knew she was here. She'd just shown a 200-pound slab of muscle a video of himself forcing himself on a woman who kept saying no. Marcus asked,
"Has LaDonna seen this?"
Joe must have shaken her head because he said,
"You better be damn glad."
Joe said, "I'm not trying to hurt you." Angie heard footsteps across the room. A curtain was raked across a rod. Silence. More silence. Angie quietly upended her purse onto the floor. She had to load her gun. She had to be ready. Marcus said,
"What are you going to do with that?"
Angie froze, waiting.
"I just want out."
Joe's voice sounded frail.
"That's all I want. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt anybody."
"Jojo."
Marcus sighed. He didn't say anything else. He was trying to figure out how to handle this. Angie tried to put herself in Marcus Rippey's shoes. He was a smart man. He had probably been blackmailed before. He had used the motel before, too. He knew to look for the security cameras. He knew that the footage would show Joe, and he knew that the manager had recognized his face. Angie took her hand off her gun. She kept waiting. Marcus said,
"Fig's not gonna let you take his son."
"He will if he knows I have a video showing him raping a girl."
"No."
Angie mouthed the word through the closed door. Marcus was in the video, too. Joe couldn't be this stupid. You couldn't show a man a video of him gang-raping a woman alongside your husband and expect for either of them to let you walk away.
"If Fig sees that..."
Marcus gave a heavy groan.
"Joe, he'll fucking kill you."
Joe didn't answer. She didn't need anyone to tell her that her husband was going to kill her.
"You want money?"
Marcus sounded angry.
"That's what this is about? You're trying to blackmail me?"
"No."
"You show me a video of me and Fig having a little fun and..."
That girl was raped. She was almost beaten to death. She had the GBI investigating. You know that ain't on me. He was obviously trying to control his temper. Come on, girl. We were just having some fun, that's all. She looks drugged. She's a junkie. She knew what she was doing. Joe was silent again. Angie's ears hurt from straining so hard. All she could hear was her own heartbeat. Fast, scared. This was too dangerous. The girl on the tape had to be Keisha Miscavige. This was Will's case that Angie had made go away. She'd paid out hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes. If there was a video, then Joe was sitting on a gold mine. If she made it out alive. Marcus said, I can give you money. I don't want money. Then what the hell do you want? My son. Joe's voice wavered. I want my mother to be safe. I want to get a job somewhere and make an honest living. How are you going to do that without money? Joe started crying. Angie couldn't tell if the sobs were for real. Come on, Marcus said.
You can talk to Reuben. Tell him he'll be off the team if he doesn't let me go.
Joe's voice had cracked on the last word.
Please, Marcus. We have a history together. We have love between us. I know that. I'm not trying to exploit you or take advantage of you. I'm asking as a friend. I need you as a friend.
Silence.
Marcus.
You know that isn't my decision. Angie waited for the girl from Starbucks to show up, to tell him that he was full of shit, that he was Marcus fucking Rippey, that he could do whatever the hell he wanted to do. Joe said nothing. Come on now, Marcus said. Sit down, girl. Let's talk about this. Angie heard the springs in the bed flex. Shit. He could rape her. The security footage showed Joe willingly going into the motel. Marcus could call it cheating. He could threaten to tell Reuben Figueroa, and Joe would be even more trapped than she already was. Marcus said, All that video shows is me having a little fun.
I saw the end. She was begging for her mama.
Marcus didn't respond. Joe said,
I heard her say it, Marcus. Mother.
That's not what you think it is. His voice had an edge to it that Angie prayed her daughter noticed.
Marcus.
I couldn't even finish, okay? I had too much to drink. There was a lot going on that night. I just left. Whatever happened next, that ain't on me. Joe didn't respond. He asked, Is this the only copy? Angie tensed. She silently willed words into Joe's mouth. I made copies. I sent them to a friend. If anything happens to me, the police will get it. Joe said,
The only other copy is on the laptop at home.
Fuck. Joe said, Reuben's laptop. He leaves it in the kitchen.
He wanted me to find it.
Marcus muttered something she couldn't make out. Or maybe Angie was distracted. She had the rabbit-eared iPad in her car that contained a copy of every single file from the kitchen laptop. Why hadn't she looked at it before? Joe said,
Reuben doesn't care what I see because he knows I'm too scared to do anything about it.
She gave a sad laugh.
I am too scared. I was terrified to come here. Those two times we were together, I couldn't think about anything but him coming into the room and shooting us both in the head.
Marcus kept silent.
I can't get a cup of coffee without showing him on my phone where I am. I can't drink water at night because I'm not allowed to leave the bed to go to the bathroom. I can't leave the house without his permission. I can't eat food that he doesn't approve of. He checks the logs on the treadmill to make sure I run my 3 miles every day. He's got cameras inside the house, the bedrooms, the bathrooms. I cut myself shaving my legs the other day, and he knew about it before I even got out of the shower. Her voice sounded raw, desperate. I'm kept like a damn animal in a cage, Marcus.
Come on. It can't be that bad, Jojo. He loves you.
He's going to love me to death.
Don't talk that way.
I'm halfway dead already.
Jo's tone of voice indicated that she meant what she was saying.
This video is my only chance to get away with Anthony. If I don't leave soon, then I'll end up dead by Reuben's hand or by my own.
Oh, girl, don't say that. Suicide is a sin.
Angie bit her tongue so she wouldn't scream. Marcus asked,
I guess you told your mama about all this.
Jo didn't answer. Was she shaking her head?
How long have you been carrying all this on your shoulders?
Too long.
Jo.
She started to cry in earnest. Angie pressed her hand to the door. She could feel Joe's sadness pressing back. She said,
It started back in college. I had to drop out because he beat me so bad. Did you know that?
Nothing from Marcus.
My dorm mate reported it, and the cops were called. The only way to keep Reuben out of jail was to marry him. The minute that ring went on my finger, it was over.
She gave that same dry laugh from before.
8 years I've been walking toward my grave. The only thing I can control is how fast I jump in.
Marcus said, Jojo, let's talk about this. We can figure it out.
I need to pick up Anthony from school. Reuben makes me call as soon as he's in the car.
Don't leave, not like this.
If I'm late,
you'll be on time, Marcus told her. Let's talk about what you're going to do.
I don't know.
Jo sounded torn.
I can't show anybody that video without implicating you. And I won't do that, no matter how bad you were.
On my life, Jo, on my kids' lives, it's not what you think it is.
Jo didn't answer at first. She was obviously conflicted. Whatever tied her to Marcus Rippey ran deeper than LaDonna realized. Jo said,
I want to care about that girl. I want to want justice for her, but all I see is a way out.
She gave a sharp laugh.
What does that say about me? What kind of person am I that I'm willing to trade one woman's life for my own?
Marcus said, You know me, Josephine. You know me better than anybody else. We got a history. Going back to when I was a boy and you were my girl. I ain't never been rough like that. Not with you. Not with nobody. You know me.
That's not what I thought when I saw the video.
I was never like that with you, he added. Not back then. Not last month. Not right now, if you'll have me.
Marcus.
They were kissing. Angie recognized the sounds. She felt herself shaking her head. What the hell kind of Russian roulette was her daughter playing?
No. Jo had obviously pulled away. I can't do this.
Play the video again, he challenged. Show me where I hurt that girl.
Angie waited for her daughter to remind him that, even doped up, the junkie in the video had kept saying no. Instead, Jo told him,
Take my phone. Destroy it. I can't hurt you, not like this.
Angie tasted blood in her mouth from biting her tongue. He said,
What happens if Fig calls you and you don't pick up?
Jo didn't answer.
Angie prayed her daughter was seeing through this. Marcus knew that Fig kept track of her through the phone. He also knew that there was a copy of the video on Fig's laptop telling Joe to keep her phone built trust, and there was only one reason that Marcus needed Joe to trust him. He was going to fuck her over. Marcus asked, "What are you going to do, Joe? I want to help."
"Nobody can help. I was just venting."
Angie heard footsteps as Joe walked across the carpet.
"I need to pick up Anthony."
"Put this problem on my shoulders," Marcus said. "I've always taken care of you, stood up to that teacher who was trying to get free with you, made sure your mama knew you were a good girl."
He paused, and Angie hoped to God Joe wasn't nodding. Marcus said,
"Let me figure out how to take care of Fig in a way that gets you what you need."
"There's no way, Marcus. Not without hurting you, and I won't do that."
"I appreciate that, but you deserve better."
He paused again. "Ladie has this party on Sunday. Fig already said y'all would be there."
"God, I can't take a party."
"You gotta show face, girl. Make him think everything is okay."
"And then what?"
"Give me some time to get a plan. I'm gonna figure this out, and I'm gonna take care of you. Even if it means moving you and Anthony into one of my houses, putting a guard outside the door to buy you some space to think about this."
"Oh, Marcus."
Joe sounded heartbreakingly hopeful.
"Would you really do that? Could you?"
"Just give me some time," he said. "I need to pray on it a bit, figure out the right thing to do."
"Thank you."
Joe's voice was almost euphoric.
"Marcus, thank you."
There was more kissing. Again, Joe pulled away first.
"I need to pick up Anthony. Thank you, Marcus. Thank you."
The door clicked open, then shut, as Joe left the room. Angie heard her soft footsteps out in the hall.
"Shit,"
Marcus whispered from the next room. The mattress squeaked. There were 10 beeps as he dialed his phone. Marcus Rippey might very well prey on the situation, but Angie knew exactly who he was going to call on to fix it.
"Kip," Marcus said. "We got a big fucking problem."
Tuesday, 3:18 p.m. Angie rode the elevator up to the 27th floor of the Tower Place office building. Not the 28th or 9th floor where 110 was located, but the one below that Angie had never been to. Dale had texted her to meet him there. He told her to come as soon as possible. Paranoia teased up the hair on the back of her neck as she watched the lights announce the floors. Had Dale figured out that Angie was on Joe's side? He had a weird sixth sense, especially where Angie was concerned. She didn't like surprises. She held her purse tight to her body. She should have loaded her gun. This didn't feel right. There was no reason for Dale to text her to meet him on a different floor. No good reason, anyway. The elevator doors slid open. Angie hesitated before stepping out. The floor was under construction. Lights dangled from their cords. Stacks of building materials and buckets of paint created a maze. Outside, the windows showed blue sky. Inside was ominous, filled with shadow. If Angie was going to kill somebody, this would be as good a place as any. She walked around the room, picking her way past the stacks of paint cans and rolling scaffolding. She thought about the iPad with the rabbit ears, the one that held a download of everything on Ruben Figueroa's kitchen laptop. Angie hadn't had time to search for the video that Joe had shown Marcus Rippey. She assumed that Marcus had told Kip about the backup, and she'd guessed that Kip would find a way to wipe the machine clean. Whether or not that meant the iPad would wipe clean, she had no idea.
Angie couldn't call Sam Vera for help. He was Dale's guy, like just about everybody she knew. In the end, all she could think to do was tear off the antenna, shut the thing down, and leave it in the safe at the One Town Suites. For $5,000, she hoped like hell the manager really did know how to take a payoff.
"Progress," Dale said.
Angie almost jumped out of her skin. "You scared the shit out of me." Dale seemed to enjoy the effect.
"Kip's upstairs with Rippy."
"Then why are we down here?"
"Because there ain't no security cameras down here."
Angie swallowed to clear the dust from her throat. She made herself walk toward him, open, nothing to hide. "Why the cloak and dagger?"
"Something with Rippy, that's all I know."
Angie let go some of her tension. Of course that's why they were here.
She'd heard Marcus call Kip with a problem. She should have anticipated that Kip would call in Dale, who would call in Angie. She glanced around the room, pretending like she hadn't already scoped out the exits and hiding places.
"What's going on here?"
"Progress," Dale repeated. 110 is expanding. Now that the All-Star deal is going forward, they need a whole team to manage the branding, make sure the athletes are out front and center, keep all of their noses clean. Laszlo's gonna run it."
Angie nodded, because that made sense. Sports management didn't just mean negotiating contracts. They managed every aspect of the athletes' lives.
"You hear back from Denny?"
Angie had forgotten about Dale's bookie problem. She looked at her phone. Denny had texted her back 3 hours ago.
She scrolled through a long explanation about how much trouble he was going to get into for rounding up every whore on Cheshire Bridge before she got to the only part that mattered.
"He says they'll do it tonight."
"Good," Dale said. "I gave the lawyer that paperwork for the trust. It's official."
"Have you told Delilah yet?" He shook his head.
"I want you to tell her."
The last thing Angie wanted to do was tell a junkie she'd hit the motherlode. Then again, he could be lying just for the sake of lying. Dale liked to fuck with people. She asked, "How do I get in touch with her? Is she staying at your place?"
"She's moved into her mama's old place." "I figured Kip would clean out my pad at the Mesa the minute I'm gone."
He coughed into his hand.
"If the job falls on you to turn it over, don't go into the attic. There's just a bunch of papers up there. Old cases and shit."
Angie wasn't going anywhere near Dale's house.
"Sure. You'll want to stay out of the bathroom, too. Different reasons."
The elevator dinged. Kip and Marcus were talking in low murmurs that drained away when they saw Angie and Dale. She tried not to think about the hope in Joe's voice when Marcus mentioned putting up Joe and Anthony in one of his houses, protecting them from Reuben Figueroa with an armed guard if necessary. The only person Marcus Rippey was ever going to protect was himself. Dale asked,
"Where's Laszlo?"
"Not here,"
Kip told Marcus.
"You should go back upstairs, bro. Let me handle this."
Marcus shook his head.
"This ain't like those other situations, man. I'm not going to let you hurt her."
Angie studied Marcus Rippey's face. He looked conflicted, which made a sort of sense if you didn't already know how this was going to end. Angie had spent most of her professional life talking people into doing things they knew were wrong, whether it was getting a suspect to flip on his buddy or bribing someone into changing their testimony before a trial. Without exception, everybody's weak spot always ended up being some combination of self-preservation and money. Dale asked,
"Who are we supposed to not be hurting?"
Kip gave Marcus another chance to leave. When he didn't, Kip answered,
"Joe Figueroa has a video."
"Of what?"
Dale asked.
Marcus said, "None of your fucking business."
Dale glanced at Angie. She kept her expression as still as she could.
"It doesn't matter what's on the video,"
Kip crossed his arms. Angie realized this was one of the rare times she'd seen him without a bottle of bank shot or a basketball. He said, "Joe has the video on her phone. That's all you need to know." Angie asked, "Are there copies?" "We're taking care of that." That explained Laszlo's absence. Kip would have sent him to get the laptop before Joe could get home from school with Anthony. Dale said,
"There's a computer."
"The copy isn't on a computer," Kip interrupted.
"Laszlo has it handled. End of discussion." Angie considered the lie. Marcus would have already told Kip that the incriminating video came from Ruben's laptop. The first question out of the agent's mouth would have been to ask about copies. Kip was holding back as much information from Dale and Angie as he could, which actually benefited Angie. Dale knew the laptop had been cloned onto the iPad. Apparently, Kip did not. Angie said, "I can hire a scale to apple-pick the phone right out of her hand. Problem solved."
"You can't take the phone," Marcus said, his voice strident.
He was thinking about Joe and the fact that Reuben made her check in, which on the surface was laudable, but if he were really concerned about Joe, none of them would be here.
"It's not just the video," Kip said.
"It's that Joe's seen it. We can't trust her not to blab. She's got to be taught a lesson about keeping in line." Dale asked,
"Time to use the axe?"
Angie felt her stomach tighten.
"No,"
Marcus sounded alarmed.
"You can't hurt her, not physically."
"It's a euphemism. We won't hurt her," Kip said. "We've got an alternate plan."
"Alternate plan," Marcus repeated. "How'd you come up with that so fast? Who you been telling my business to?"
"We're your team, Marcus," Kip explained. "We've known for a while that Joe might be a problem." Angie waited for someone to point out that Reuben Figueroa was the problem. When it didn't happen, she asked, "What about the husband?"
"Big can't know about this," Marcus asked Kip. "When's he coming home?"
"He isn't cleared to fly until tomorrow night." Kip held up both hands like a traffic cop trying to stop an oncoming bus. "And I understand. Fig can't know about the video or Joe meeting you alone. Trust me, Marcus, I know Fig has a temper. We don't need him stuck with a murder charge when we're less than 2 weeks away from the biggest jackpot of our lives." Marcus gave a slow nod, seemingly sad about the fact that money trumped everything. Angie was the only person in the room who didn't accept the trade-off. Joe's life was worth more than a basketball game or yet another glorified shopping mall. Marcus asked,
"What's the alternate plan?"
Dale answered,
"Long time ago, Joe was arrested with a bunch of scripts in her car."
"Back in high school?"
Marcus shook his head. He was back to playing Joe's savior again.
"Nah, man, those were for me. I hurt my back, had to keep playing. Joe took the weight. She knew they'd go easy on her."
Angie thought about Joe sacrificing herself for Rippy. Was this what her daughter was like? Always lying down for a man? Kip said,
"Details on the arrest are still out there. We can use it."
"Use it how?"
Dale said,
"I'll put some oxy in her car, call in a buddy of mine, and she'll spend a few days in jail. Give her time to reflect on her problems."
"Nuh-uh."
Marcus shook his head.
"You can't send Joe to jail."
"I won't allow it.
You work for me, man. All of you. You work for me, and I say no."
In any other situation, Angie would have laughed in Rippy's face. He had convinced himself that he was a good man backed into a tight corner. She wanted to look at her watch and time how long it took for him to capitulate. Her best guess was 3 minutes.
"Marcus."
Kip sighed a heavy breath, feigning frustration at this awful dilemma that he, too, had no taste for.
"I don't want to send her to jail either, but this is serious stuff. We've got to figure out a way to put Joe in her place without alerting Fig.
She needs an axe, not a hammer.
What the fuck does that even mean?
Dale said, it means that she needs to understand this is a business.
Kip took over. The next 10 days are precarious for all of us. You saw what happened to the investors when that Keisha Miscavige bullshit came up. What do you think is going to happen if you and Fig get embroiled in a new scandal? We're not just talking about Joe blowing up your career, your home life, your family. This could blow up the entire project.
He shrugged, helpless.
Someone has that much power. You don't shut her up. You shut her down.
Marcus shook his head, but Angie could tell he was close to breaking.
That ain't right, man. She came to me for help.
Kip shot Dale a look of desperation. Angie looked away so she didn't get the same. Joe in jail for a few days wouldn't be a bad thing. She'd be safe from Fig. 2 days would give Angie some time to figure out a plan. If she could juggle the right balls in the air, Joe would be on a plane to the Bahamas on Sunday morning instead of scuttling off to rehab.
Kip said, Marcus, tell me our other options. This isn't like Chicago. We can't twist arms and throw around some money. Joe gets away with blackmailing you once, she'll try again. And people will listen to her, man. You want a Rolling Stone cover about that shit? Or worse, for her to go to LaDonna with some bullshit story about video this and video that?
Marcus physically recoiled at the mention of his wife.
She wouldn't bring LaDonna into this.
You sure about that? Marcus didn't look sure of anything.
Kip saw an opening. There's no telling what else Joe is planning. We need to make it clear that she's not the one with the power. It's not like I enjoy the prospect of backing her down.
He shrugged, helpless.
But if we scare the shit out of her, let her sit in a 5x9 cell for a few days, eat shit on a shingle, and watch the clock tick with no idea when it's going to stop.
Kip shrugged again.
It's the best way to handle it, Marcus. You know that.
Marcus asked,
what's Fig gonna do when he gets home tomorrow night and finds out his wife is in county lockup?
I can handle Fig.
Bullshit. Marcus spat out the two words.
Ain't nobody can handle him. Dude's a freak when he's pissed off. Something like this, Joe pulling jail time, he won't put her in the hospital. He'll put her in the grave.
Kip said, he'll be in a knee brace. Doc says he can't bend his leg for another week.
Angie watched Marcus trying to concoct a fairy tale where Joe was safe. He asked,
what else did the doc say about Fig?
Kip said, a month in the brace, another month of physical therapy. He's got at least 5 more years in him, but the point is, there's nothing to worry about this weekend. Once Fig gets back from Texas, if Joe wants to get away from him, all she has to do is walk fast.
Angie didn't know if Joe had it in her to walk away from anything unless Anthony was at her side. She grabbed at straws.
Send her to rehab. It'll look good for the judge. It'll buy her 30 days away from Fig. That'll get us past the groundbreaking, and it will help Joe.
Marcus asked,
how does that help Joe?
Angie wasn't going to make this too easy for him.
Nobody's going to beat the shit out of her in rehab. That'll happen when she gets out.
Dale said,
rehab means therapy. What if one of them shrinks talks her into turning on Fig?
We can't deal with what-ifs,
Kip said, though that was exactly what they were doing. He told Marcus,
look, I like Joe too, but we can seriously undercut her credibility with the arrest, right? Nobody listens to a junkie. Just ask Keisha Miscavige. Plus, you know Joe's not going to leave Fig. She's tried at least 5 times before, and that's only the times we know about.
I don't know.
Marcus was obviously convinced, but he had to make like his arm had to be twisted just a little more.
Dale said, I don't know if I've got enough juice to keep her in past Sunday. Saturday is a stretch.
LaDee is throwing a team party Sunday night, Marcus said. Even if Fig could move around, he wouldn't mess her up before the party. People would ask too many questions. Dale said, "So we keep her in jail 2 days, we get her through the party Sunday, we whisk her off to rehab the next morning."
Marcus scratched his chin. He still wasn't going to make this easy.
Kip said, "The tabloids will be all over this. You know Fig hates the press. He'll be on his best behavior. He's fucking nuts, but he's not stupid. This isn't 5 years ago. You can't get filmed beating the shit out of a woman and expect to keep playing."
Marcus didn't disagree.
"I don't know about jail, man. Joe's sensitive. She ain't that kind of girl."
"It's no big deal. It's like going to a spa."
Kip's eyes lit up with an idea.
"Actually, this could work in Joe's favor. We'll get publicity on it. They can turn it into a story about Joe's recovery, getting clean for her kid, whatever. She'll get a photo shoot, have her hair and makeup done. She'll love it."
"No, she won't," Marcus said. "Joe hates being photographed. She never wants to be the center of attention."
"Even better," Kip said. "She'll do it because she won't have a choice. Good press for Reuben, good press for the team."
Marcus looked genuinely worried.
"I can buy Fig waiting it out for a couple of days because of his knee, but then what? Dude packs some serious heat. He keeps an AK by his front door."
"He's had guns for years. He hasn't used them yet."
Kip seemed to think there was some safety in his logic.
"Joe will be fine."
Dale said, "I'll make sure they take care of her in jail. She'll get her own cell. She'll be in solitary. None of the other inmates will talk to her. I've got a gal who's been working there since dirt. She knows how to keep girls safe."
Marcus stared at him.
"Who the fuck are you, man?"
"He's a fixer," Kip said. "He gets shit done."
"He looks like a fucking corpse," Marcus sniffed.
"Damn, man, clean your shorts. You smell like piss."
Angie said, "He was a cop for 25 years. He knows how the system works. If he says he can make sure Joe is protected inside, then she will be." Marcus looked at Angie like he had just noticed she was in the room. His eyes traveled up her legs, followed the curve of her waist to her breasts. She knew that she was his type, even with a few years on her. Angie tried to work the advantage. She could feel at least part of a plan coming into focus, even if it was just to buy Joe some time. "Joe goes to the grocery store on Thursdays. That's tomorrow. We can plant the pills then, make sure that her kid isn't with her. That keeps her safe for 2 days while she's in jail. Marcus, you'll make sure Joe is all right during the party. Then Monday morning, she's off to rehab, and we've bought ourselves 30 days. Meanwhile, the All-Star Complex breaks ground. The press stays good. Everybody wins." Marcus chewed the side of his lip. He was finally letting himself come around.
"What about her kid?"
Angie said, "They'll give Joe one phone call. She can ask her mother to pick up Anthony from school and watch him until Fig gets home." Her mouth was so dry she could barely make enough saliva to speak. The plan looked good on paper, but it was risky as hell, mostly because it depended on a guy with an uncontrollable temper keeping himself in check. She told Kip and Marcus, "You guys have to be clear with Fig that Joe needs to look good for the cameras. All it will take is one bruise or her walking funny, and some idiot with a blog is going to break the story. If Fig hates the press as much as you say he does, then make it clear that they're going to be watching Joe like a hawk, especially once she's out of jail."
"This works," Kip said.
2 days in jail, 30 days in rehab. Joe sees how easily we can turn her life upside down. Fig will be fine by the time she gets out. You know his temper burns off if you give him some time."
Marcus was nodding already.
"Might wake the dude up, make him think she's taking pills, 'cause maybe she can't take what he's giving anymore."
Angie bit her lip so she wouldn't call him on his bullshit.
"Okay, good." Kip turned to Dale. "The video on the phone can be wiped when Joe is in jail, right? Some kind of government mistake, blah, blah, blah." Dale said, "My guy can do that remotely."
"Good," Kip repeated.
"So, Dale plants the oxy. I'll get one of Dittmar's people to shuttle Joe through the arraignment, tell them not to make a stink when she's held over to Saturday.
Nah, man, get her to plant the oxy.
Marcus nodded toward Angie.
This guy looks like he'll be dead before I leave the room.
Dale's lips went into a tight, white line. He was dying, but he still had his pride.
Fine, done, we're out of here, Kip told Marcus. Let's head back upstairs. I've got some last-minute details to go over with you about the groundbreaking.
Marcus took another look at Angie before he let Kip lead him back toward the elevator.
Dale waited until they were gone before he spoke. Fucking piece of shit, fucker.
He kicked over a ladder.
Who does he think made his rape charges go away? And the two that didn't even get filed?
He kicked the ladder again.
I put blood on my hand so that dickwad could keep dribbling a fucking basketball.
Angie guessed she had figured out how Dale had finagled the money for the trust fund.
He said, Do I look like a fucking corpse?
You look like you've got the flu, she lied. You could always go back on dialysis. Dale leaned against the wall. He was winded from kicking the ladder.
Sitting in that fucking hospital room for 4 hours a day, 3 days a week, everybody talking about how they're gonna get a kidney soon.
Angie couldn't listen to his sob story. She had to figure out how she was going to take care of Joe. I need to get going.
Hold on. Where's that iPad, the clone thing? I don't trust this bullshit about no copy on the laptop.
I didn't see any movies, just a bunch of pictures, emails with her mother. Dale stared at her, trying to suss out the truth.
Angie rolled her eyes.
I'll smash it with a hammer, problem solved.
Fine, but bring me the pieces.
Shit. Now she had to buy another iPad and pound it into parts.
Anything else, Your Majesty?
You know this jail and rehab thing is only temporary.
Dale raised his eyebrows.
Kip's paranoid. Marcus is terrified of LaDonna. You think they're going to be cured of that when Joe gets out of Hotel Junkie in 30 days?
What are you saying?
I got you this job. You want to keep it, you're going to have to take over for me.
You mean I got to get blood on my hands?
Don't put on an act with me, Lady Macbeth.
Dale's yellow teeth flashed.
Mark my words, even if Joe keeps her mouth shut, these guys are going to get paranoid. They're going to start losing sleep. They're going to start worrying about what Joe will say. Eventually, they'll come to you to solve the problem on a more permanent basis.
What the hell does that mean?
You know what it means.
Angie did. He thought that Kip would hire her to murder Joe, which confirmed in her mind that Kip had hired Dale to kill for him before. She hoped to God that he'd gotten more money than the measly $250,000 that he was leaving Delilah.
Listen to your Uncle Dale, he advised. Make it look like a suicide. She's got a drug problem. Jail and rehab would depress the hell out of anybody. Some pills, some booze, a bathtub with the water left running, and she slips down and drowns peacefully in her sleep.
Angie started to shake her head, but then she remembered that Dale wouldn't ever find out what happened. Thanks for the advice, Uncle Dale.
Wait.
He stopped her from leaving.
Seems strange, you know Joe goes to the grocery store on Thursdays, especially since you only started following her this week.
I asked around. You're not the only person who knows how to be a detective.
Right.
Is that all?
Angie tried to walk away, but he grabbed her arm.
You'll need these for tomorrow.
Dale reached into his pocket. He pulled out a Ziploc bag that contained around a dozen green pills. Oxycontin, 80 milligrams. Enough to land Joe in jail, but not enough so that she could get hit with distribution. He said,
I know you prefer Vicodin.
His yellow teeth showed under his wet lips.
Maybe a little too much.
What shot out your kidneys? Rainbows and sunshine?
Angie wasn't going to let him use her habit against her. Dale had blown through enough coke over the years to powder the Alps.
At least I know when to pull back.
Doctors ever get that hole in your stomach to close up? Dale had a smug look on his face. It's the coating on the pills, right? Eats through the stomach lining.
Angie snatched away the bag of oxy.
Take a shower, Dale. Marcus was right. You reek of piss. Why don't you lick it off me?
Angie could hear him laughing as she walked away. Thursday, 10:22 a.m. Angie pushed an empty cart through the Kroger, looking for Joe. The store was too clean. Her eyes hurt from the fluorescent lights. Everything was aggressively tidy. The last time Angie had been in an actual grocery store, she was with Will. Domesticity was his only fetish. He bought things in bulk, always the same brands with the same logos because he was too stupid to read about anything that might be new or better. Angie loathed domesticity. She had gotten bored with the whole process, sneaking crap into his cart, some root beer, then peach sorbet, then a different kind of butter. And 5 minutes later, he was freaking out like the robot from Lost in Space. Sarah probably did all of his shopping now. Ironed his shirts, made his dinner, tucked him into bed at night, changed his diaper. Angie pushed her way through the deli and spotted her daughter in the produce section. Joe held a peach in her hand, testing it for softness. There was a distant look in her eyes. Maybe she was thinking about her plan to escape from her husband. That was why Joe had shown Marcus the video. She thought he would take care of her, make all the bad things go away. What she didn't understand was that Marcus Rippey wasn't going to jeopardize any part of his life to help Joe. Even if he wanted to, Kip wouldn't let him. The video was their only leverage. Angie had to copy the file off of Joe's phone before the police scooped her up. She didn't trust the backup iPad. Even turned off and locked in a motel safe. Sam Vera was too good at his job, and Angie wasn't willing to roll the dice with Joe's life. Dale wasn't a fortune teller, but he understood how these things worked. Joe was an uncertainty. People hated uncertainty, especially when money was involved. It would only be a matter of time before Marcus got paranoid and Kip got desperate. Laszlo had stabbed a man to death in Boston. There was other dirty work she knew about in Atlanta. His job was to keep the trains running on time. Angie didn't see him having any qualms about neutralizing Joe, which meant there wasn't much time left for her daughter to get away.
Let me call my mother.
Angie felt her stomach flip. Joe was talking to her. She was standing 10 feet away. She held a peach in her hand. Her voice was raised just loud enough to carry. Joe said,
My son is at school. Let me call my mother before you take me.
Angie looked around, making sure no one could hear them.
I know Reuben has you following me.
Joe put down the peach.
I saw you at the Starbucks. You were at my son's school last month.
It's not what you think. Joe was trying to sound like she wasn't afraid, but the muscles in her neck stood out with tension.
I won't come willingly unless you let me take care of my son.
Her composure started to break. She was clearly terrified.
Please. He's Reuben's boy, too.
Angie felt a sharp pain in her chest, a physical response to the helplessness that her daughter was obviously experiencing.
Your husband didn't send me. I'm here to help you get away.
Joe laughed.
I'm serious.
Fuck off, woman. Don't waste my time. She pushed her shopping cart to the next aisle. She tore off a produce bag and started loading it with oranges. Angie said, You're in danger.
No shit.
Marcus went to Kip about the video. Joe laughed again.
You think I didn't figure something like that happened? The laptop crashed this morning. Won't even boot up. Everything on my phone got erased.
She opened her purse. She took out her phone. She offered it to Angie.
You want it?
Take it. I don't even have pictures of my boy anymore. Angie slapped her hand away.
Listen to me. I'm trying to help you.
You can't help me. Joe turned around. She pushed her cart over to the juice section. Angie followed her.
You're going to be arrested.
Joe looked confused, then angry.
For what?
They planted Oxy in your car.
Angie left out the part where she'd been the one to do it.
The cops are going to be waiting outside when you leave. They're going to keep you in jail for 2 days.
But Joe had the look that Angie had seen before when rich, entitled people found out that they were going to have to bend the law.
I didn't do anything.
It doesn't matter, Angie told her. They have it all planned out. They want to teach you a lesson.
Angie gave her a moment to let reality sink in.
You'll get out of jail Saturday night. You'll go to LaDonna's party with Fig on Sunday night. Then Monday morning, you'll go to rehab.
I won't be able to walk Monday morning.
Reuben's knee will be in a brace.
Angie felt the words rush into her mouth like water. She had to make Joe believe that she could keep her safe.
He'll be effectively crippled.
You think that matters? She shook her head again. You can't outrun a bullet to the back.
The press will be everywhere. If he hits you, they'll see it.
If he leaves a mark.
Angie struggled to convince her.
You tell him if he touches you, you'll go out in the yard and take off your clothes and let the photographers record exactly what he's done.
What photographers?
She looked even more panicked.
Reuben doesn't like the press.
They'll be following you the minute you get out of jail.
Oh, God.
Joe put her hand to her neck. Her breathing was shallow.
Marcus told Reuben I met with him. Alone.
No. Reuben doesn't know about the motel, the video, any of that.
Angie watched the relief pass through Joe's body like a muscle relaxer.
Marcus took the problem to Kip. This is how Kip's handling it.
Tears filled her eyes. She was clearly terrified.
Do you know what my husband's going to do to me for bringing attention down on him?
Angie couldn't stand her distress anymore.
I'm going to help you get away.
What?
Joe sounded disgusted.
Are you crazy?
I'm going to help you, Angie repeated, and she realized that she had never spoken truer words in her life.
She had abandoned Joe once before, but she was going to do everything she could today, right now, to guide her daughter to safety.
She said, "Let me help you."
Fuck off, lady.
Joe turned furious, the same as you would expect from any trapped animal.
You ambush me at the grocery store and tell me you're my savior? And I'm supposed to believe you? Risk my life for you? Risk my son's life for you? Where do you get off, bitch? Who the hell do you think you are?
Angie didn't have the words to tell her.
I'm your mother.
I'm the teenager who didn't want to raise you. I'm the woman who abandoned you.
I'm a friend, Angie said.
Do you know what happened to the last friend who tried to help me?
He ended up in the hospital. Probably won't ever walk again.
Do you know what happened to the last woman who threatened Marcus Rippey?
Joe looked away. If she didn't know, she had a good idea. The despair was back, the helplessness.
Why would you risk your life to help a stranger?
I had a daughter who was in your situation.
Had, Joe repeated. She got killed?
Yes, Angie said, because she knew that's how most of these stories ended. She was killed because I didn't help her. I'm not going to let that happen again.
Jesus. Joe saw through the lie. You think you can get me on your side? Make me trust you? I've seen you at 110. If you're not working for Reuben, you're working for Kip Kilpatrick.
You're right, I work for Kip, Angie admitted.
And I do a lot of bad shit for him, but I'm not going to do this.
Crisis of conscience? Joe gave a hard laugh. She knew what fixers did. She'd been wrapped up in professional sports for her entire adult life.
Reuben keeps a knife by our bed. His gun is 2 inches from his hand when he takes a shower. He beats me.
She realized her voice was too loud. People were starting to stare.
He beats me, she repeated, softer.
He rapes me. He makes me beg for him to keep doing it. I have to apologize afterward for making him lose control. He makes me thank him when I'm allowed to get a fucking cup of coffee or tea.